Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. If you're listening to this, congratulations. You've survived the Republican presidential debate season, at least for now. We'll see what other debates pop up before the general campaign hits, but consider yourselves winners of this whole process for surviving, what is it, 21, 22 debates. We'll leave that discussion for others to take on. Our good news today, our good martini, Jim, is a new poll from USA Today and Gallup. Good news on a number of fronts, but first of all, 50% of Americans think the president has been a failure, or at least his administration has been a failure. 50% believe that. 44% do not think that, yet somehow 50% still approve of his job approval, that he's doing a good job. And that may be explained by the fact that 58% just think he's a swell guy. Other things that you've mentioned on the campaign spot today suggest that Mitt Romney's actually a little bit ahead, according to Gallup. Rick Santorum's within the margin of error. Basically, the president is at 50% when the Republicans are tearing themselves apart. So once there is a nominee and all the Republicans hopefully will unite around that nominee, things will be looking a little bit better. And already things are looking pretty good here.
Yeah, Greg, as you and I look at poll numbers, there have been a lot of days in recent weeks where we seem to have some counterintuitive, or at least somewhat counterintuitive, bad news for Republicans, Obama's number improving and the Republican numbers sliding consistently. And now today we have some perhaps unexpected good news. I mean, most people would say it seems like Obama has had a pretty good couple of weeks, or at least he's been every bit as effective in his demagoguery as he has in previous weeks. And now all of a sudden, boom, here come these numbers from USA Today and Gallup that not only say that 50% of Americans think his presidency is a failure. I mean, that's a pretty big loaded word. And, you know, as we've noted in most of these discussions of polls, all in all, Americans would rather like their president. They're generally rooting for this guy to succeed. They realize that if Obama is a failure, their lives don't get better. And so they've kind of been giving him the benefit of the doubt. It'll be interesting to see if this means that the voters are no longer giving President Obama the benefit of the doubt. 6%, I believe, said that he is they either didn't answer or didn't have an opinion or didn't want to say whether they thought Obama's presidency had been a failure. And so only 44% are willing to say it's been a success. That is, you know, pretty ominous for the president. And then, as you noted, the hopelessly unelectable challenger Rick Santorum is down by 1%, and that uninspiring, boring, out-of-touch rich guy is actually ahead by 4. So I think what tells us is a couple things. One is the media narrative matters less than we think it does. And I think we on the right can tend to get a little bit overwrought about media bias. And we may tend to believe it has overwhelming power when it really doesn't. And then the second thing to keep in mind is that I think perhaps some of these things are cyclical. I don't know whether it's a matter of people see a slight improvement in the economy. A Quinnipiac poll out this morning gave it a similar indication along those lines. And they start feeling better about the president. And then they get used to that slight improvement and it becomes normal to them. The perception of what is normal seems to vary quite a bit week by week, month by month. I mean, one of the things I marvel at is that we're still expected to put on our party hats over unemployment being 8.3%. You know, that's still pretty awful by historical standards. And the idea that we are now in year 4 of the recession means that, you know, in many people's eyes, this has been an absolute failure to generate any type of serious economic recovery. So it's good news for us. I don't quite understand what happened in the last poll, you know, a couple of days to make people turn on Obama in this way. I think we should always be a little bit wary that these may be the regular shifts and samples, demographics and things like that to make people think that, okay, this, you know, this may just be an unusually pessimistic sample for the president. However, I wouldn't be surprised if Americans started taking a hard look as the presidential race heated up and realized they are not where they want to be in 2012, and all the amount of happy talk from the administration really can't change that.
Yeah, I like also the last paragraph of this USA Today story because it's something that counters what we've been seeing in the horrific turnout in some of these early state caucuses and primaries. The GOP has an edge on enthusiasm. In the poll, 53% of Republican voters say they're more enthusiastic than usual about voting compared with 45% of Democrats. So hopefully that's true and growing. Speaking of growing, the price at the pump, in case anybody hasn't filled up recently, things are going up and they're going up quickly. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of unrest about the situation with Iran. Obviously, we keep killing various opportunities to increase our domestic supply. And so oil speculators see that we have no intention of doing anything serious on the domestic front. The president, of course, is going to blame it on tsunamis and items beyond his control and just basically anything other than his own policies on energy. But this issue, Jim, I think was crystallized pretty well on ABC News World News Tonight last night as Cecilia Vega was doing a piece that talked about the rising cost of gasoline in Atlanta, 16 cents in one day, for example. When she came out of the taped piece, here's what happened.
And Diane, take a look at this. It's almost too unbelievable to believe. Just while we were on the air during those 2 minutes of that story, the gas prices here at this station went up by 10 cents. It was $4.99. Now it's $5.09 for a gallon of regular gas here at this station in downtown Los Angeles.
It went up 10 cents?
10 cents during that 2 minutes while we were on the air.
Good to see Diane Sawyer even appalled by that. And I guess I have to give ABC credit for even doing the story. Of course, if Bush were president, I'm sure it would be taking up 20 of the 30 minutes. But the fact that it's on there at all is good news. And I don't know how often Diane Sawyer fills up her car, but I like the fact that she was appalled by that.
Fox Business Channel had been arguing that the press had been downplaying the gas price story. It's in the economics pages. The interesting thing will be, when does it become a front page story? Obama is supposed to discuss this at an event today. So I think the administration realizes that, look, a lot of Americans drive. A lot of Americans pump their own gas. This is not something you can downplay week after week. And when you see dramatic jumps like this, now the fun thing will be whether there's any, Nancy Pelosi, back when gas was at that awful, awful price of $2.91 a gallon, Nancy Pelosi said it was because we had two oil men in the White House. Well, we've got Barack Obama and Joe Biden in the presidency and vice presidency now. I suppose you could say we have snake oil men in the White House. Where is Nancy Pelosi's, fury over nearly $5 a gallon gas? Apparently, up in Alaska, which has particularly high costs, in that report, they said it's up to $6 a gallon. It is pretty difficult. And all of this talk about an economic recovery, boy, oh boy. Greg, I remember back in the summer of 2008, that was the first serious rattle in the engine, so to speak. The things were not well with the U.S. economy when more and more of your take-home pay goes to a basic expenditure such as the gas to put into your car so you can go to work and get home from work and pick up the kids at school and do all the typical driving you need to do. It's going to make a huge bite into your discretionary spending, a huge bite into your savings. And, as we've noted, this is not an economy that things are roaring and doing particularly, fantastically well in. So, while it may feel like we've gone through the double dip recession fears, year by year, month by month, this is a serious, serious problem for the U.S. economy. A good political opportunity for Republicans, but still something which, a lot of Americans are just going to be, driving up to those gas stations and groaning, even if they aren't seeing the 10-cent jumps that the ABC News report happened to witness during that report.
Yeah, it's certainly true. And of course, all the Democrats have no answers. Most of them, especially the liberal think tanks in my inbox anyway, are trying to get Americans used to gas prices at this level because they're just never going to go back down. And if we just take the time to, develop alternative sources of energy, people will have to get used to that. And at least it'll be cleaner, even though it's still going to be really, really expensive. Jim, there, of course, when anybody talks about more domestic production, going back to their tired old argument, well, it would take at least 10 years for that to hit the market. Well, if we had done that when Bill Clinton took office, as we suggested, they'd be cranked out for almost 10 years at this point. And we'd be in a better situation if we explored in Anwar and a whole lot of other areas that this president, not surprisingly, just doesn't see fit to explore.
Greg, just a bit of self-help. If you have some goal in life and it will take you several years to achieve it, those years will go by one way or the other. The question is whether you want to achieve that goal. If it will take you 10 years to develop Anwar, well, 10 years from now, either you can have developed Anwar or you won't. Make your choice, but it's not like it will make it go any quicker. If you have a five-year goal in life, those 5 years will go by. The question is, do you want to have that goal accomplished or not? It's kind of strange how the fact that the move doesn't go fast enough seems to be this perpetual excuse for procrastination on this matter. But look, they're the reality-based community. What do we know?
Well, the government's going to pay all your bills eventually anyway, so why even have goals anymore, really? Anyway, on to Martini number three, and the Chevy Volt has, well, let's just say not been leading the market in sales lately. It's been leading the league in recalls and fires in engines, just spontaneously combusting and that sort of thing. Nonetheless, No one's giving up on the Chevy Volt. The president is offering about 10 grand a pop for anybody who buys a Volt in his new budget. Of course, that will never actually get passed. But now a memo leaked to Green Car Reports. This is a memo sent to employees of General Electric Healthcare Americas. And the memo explains that all sedan, crossover, and minivan purchases in 2012 will be replaced by the Chevy Volt. Only field engineers are exempt from having to drive a company Volt. So GE essentially mandating this. That's basically their way of getting their little charging stations circulating around in society. And once again, choice, freedom, out the window. This time, fortunately, not the government. It's just crony capitalism. Jim, great day.
You know, Greg, I sense that skepticism about Volt sales, but everything I hear and read says that these days the Volt sales are explosive. En fuego is the term that I keep hearing, you know, reminiscent of old Sports Center. You know, these sales are on fire. There's a fantastic ad that you can find on the web called Obama Volt 2012. It talks to a very satisfied Volt owner who says that he finds the car bursting into flame makes him arrive at his destination quicker. Because he doesn't want to be incinerated. So there's all kinds of advantages to a Volt. Why you would badmouth them and why you'd have a problem with employers requiring their employees to purchase a particular car. I mean, you know, I suppose we on the right would say that, look, this is a private matter between employees and employers, and this is not the usual beef, you know, overreaching hand of the state. It'd be kind of fascinating if anybody in government had nudged GE to have that particular policy. But this is the whole thing when crony capitalism comes along. It's very hard to tell exactly where the line between government and corporations stop. You know, somehow our friends on the left have been railing about the evils of big corporations for years, have now become completely corporatist. And as long as the company is making large enough donations to the president's reelection campaign, they're no longer bad anymore. I guess if the left can embrace big pharma for its, you know, the way for manufacturing birth control pills, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, longtime demonized military contractor GE is now all of a sudden hunky-dory because, you know, they make their companies buy the right cars.
And there's no real connection between GE leadership and the pres. Oh, yeah, there. Jeffrey Immelt is the big jobs guy now. Amazing. Amazing that this is all working out together.
The important thing is that the president's reelection campaign, Obama for America, and the primary cable news outlet of GE, known as MSNBC, Greg, they're completely different. There's enormous distinctions in tone and style. The Obama for America campaign is generally a lot more respectful of Republicans, respectful of conservatives, respectful of listeners. You know, you don't see the Ed Schultz tone coming from the Obama campaign. So, you know, really, I like to think of it as kind of a class difference, you could say.
It's all part of the same mess that we need to clean up. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.